This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another edition of WrestleNomics Radio. I'm Brandon Thurston, broadcasting on demand from Buffalo, New York, where today is Sunday, September 12th, 2021. And today on the program, we have pay-per-view buys for All Elite Wrestling's All Out pay-per-view, the most bought pay-per-view since WCW in 1999, as far as wrestling pay-per-views go. WWE SmackDown went to Madison Square Garden and drew the highest live gate in SmackDown history. But then in Long Island, WWE and AEW go head-to-head at the new UBS Arena. The capacity for Arthur Ashe Stadium is expanding. Wrestle Kingdom will be 3 days. Paul Levesque had a cardiac event, and WWE is probably not about to be sold. All that and more today on the program, but first.
All right, it is good to be here.
Not yet. It's not you yet.
All right, it's good to be here. I am Chris Gello, joined alongside Brandon Thurston.
Chris Gello already botching his cue.
Yes, he's the mathematics whiz here at WrestleNomics. I'm the guy that can't even follow the cues. We got a fun show for us. But as you said in the pre-show ramble there, it is opening day for football. I am already decked out in my Buffalo Bills gear.
What's the name of the stadium now? Who have they sold their corporate soul to?
Highmark Stadium.
What is Highmark?
It's a subsidiary of Blue Cross Blue Shield.
So it's healthcare.
Yes.
But what's the difference between Highmark and Blue Cross? Full disclosure, I am covered by Blue Cross Blue Shield. So what is Highmark?
Blue Cross, I think, has multiple types of insurance companies that are owned by them and all that. I think they might be regional. I'm not really sure. I'm not a health insurance guy at all as far as knowing it. I just pay for it and don't even really know. I can't even explain yet what covers my health insurance.
So if they're paying, the Pagulas probably.
Yes.
That's millions of dollars to have their name on the stadium.
What, yeah.
We don't even know what the product is. Is it really worth it?
No. I mean, people are going to look it up. They're like, what's Highmark? They're going to Google it.
Yes. Who are the Bills playing today?
The Pittsburgh Steelers.
Oh, wow. I was in Erie, Pennsylvania. I saw some Pittsburgh Steelers regalia in the neighborhood last night. Yes, here we are, just moments before Chris Gull has to go to the stadium to get drunk and throw himself through flaming tables, etc.
I'm very timid. I'm going to enjoy some Josh Allen seltzers, and I'm going to take it easy. I don't jump through tables.
Josh Allen seltzers, is that an alcoholic beverage?
So Labatt Blue Light has a seltzer. It's called QB1, but Josh Allen's on all the advertising, and it's like a silhouette of him. It's a Buffalo Bills themed alcoholic seltzer, yes.
Okay. I've seen in Wegmans there is Josh Allen cereal.
Uh-huh. I had that this morning.
Covering
Josh's
wall.
Jacks.
I was in Erie, Pennsylvania for PWR last night, which maybe why my voice sounds different if you're noticing that. I'm noticing that. I feel it. Probably because I was yelling and whatnot. I have Icy Hot on my neck. This was my second match since the pandemic. My next match, I may or may not be booked for the next show. I heard that they have another show in another town, and it was referred to as if I was booked, but no one has confirmed or even told me about this date. But anyway, I wrestled Zach Thomas from Cleveland. It was a good match. Tommy Dreamer was there. Cody Deaner was there. Matt Cross was there. It was a good. It seemed like pent up demand. There was a good. There was a good house at the Saga Club. You know, which is usually, I don't know, it's like 200 people that fit in there or something like that. But it was a good crowd. My neck is sore and my body's not used. This is also my first match since I had LASIK surgery. So I can still see though. Everything went well.
Well, that's good. Yeah. I actually rang announced yesterday,
where
afternoon, evening, in Rochester.
For upstate.
Yeah, for UPW. It was a good show. Steel cage matches outdoors. We were fighting against the daylight. We got the show done in 2 hours. Wow. That's my specialty as a ring announcer. If you need time management, I'm good with that.
Why was this an outdoor show? Was it like at a certain location?
It was supposed to be at a certain venue, and I had to move venue. So because of size, you know, Pineapple Jacks came in last minute, but Pineapple Jacks is small inside as far as what you do for a crowd. So they knew they were going to have more demand for tickets. So they did it outside. It was pretty solid.
So this was outdoors at Pineapple Jacks.
Yes.
Pineapple Jacks, the long running, the original Pier 6 wrestling. We're talking about things nobody listening to has any reference point for. But anyway, okay. Interesting. Didn't know that. I knew there were a lot of shows yesterday in the local area, but yeah, interesting. Indie wrestling is happening. Were there masks? And well, I guess it was outdoors, so maybe not as good of a question.
Yeah, I mean some people were wearing masks, but
I will say this at PWR in Erie, Pennsylvania, the fans were required to wear masks. And there was one point, so there is a doctor who is a part of the management team at PWR, and at one point after a couple of matches, he got on the microphone and said, "I'm seeing too many noses and mouths." That's got to stop, or we're going to have to stop the matches. He threatened to stop the show if people didn't.
I'm not surprised.
So anyway, I had you start the show this week, so you're to establish the tone that you are in control, Chris Cole.
Yeah, we're going to get into it. We're going to go over pay-per-view buys, and this was SC Scoops. Tweeted this out. Tony Khan says AEW All Out did over 200,000 buys. Actual number is not known yet, and that was via the Busted Open radio show. And our own Brandon Thurston yourself replied that I've been told separately as well. All Out is measuring at over 200,000 pay-per-view buys. The last non-WWE pay-per-view buy to do 200,000 or more was probably WCW Mayhem in November 1999. Many WWE pay-per-views before the launch of the network in February 2014 sold less than 200,000. And we actually have a graph here of the estimated WWE pay-per-view buys from January 2012 to February 2014. And yeah, you see like Battleground 2013, 113,000, TLC 2012, 169, and so on. Just looks like how many? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So it looks like about like 12 or 13 over 200,000.
Oh, over or under?
Over in that period.
So yeah, I'd been told the night after or the night of that it was looking good, and but they get the digital information first. So like the Bleacher Report and Fight pay-per-view buys come in first, and just the nature of old cable pay-per-view and is that it takes months for all this information from the cable networks to roll in. And then there's international distributors as well that probably make things additionally complicated. But I think they were encouraged by the activity they saw in digital, but were hesitant to be sure that same sort of increase was going to be there for traditional cable pay-per-view. But it looks like it is enough to the extent that they are now comfortable saying over 200,000, as Tony Khan did on Busted Open, his favorite wrestling podcast. As you mentioned, that is, to put that in some frame of reference, yes, that is WCW last did a pay-per-view of 200,000 in November 1999, and many of the last pay-per-views before the network, back when WWE was only on, you know, pay-per-views were only on pay-per-view and there was no network. This is higher than many of those pay-per-views in the last couple of years. So this is a real buy rate. Oh. I've yelled at people on Twitter for saying buy rate. You can't say buy rate. It's wrong. Do you know the differences between a buy rate and the buys, Chris Gullo?
Buys is an actual number, right? And a buy rate would be a percentage.
That's right. The percentage of the universe that the pay-per-view was sold to. And nobody talks about that anymore because the universe is like everybody, I guess, because there's enough pay-per-view availability. Back in the day, yeah, you might have had cable, but you didn't necessarily have access to pay-per-view. So... anyway, I think that's all that we really need to say. Well, let's pull out the calculator here and see this will be a really rough estimate because there's different price points around the world, right? And let's, you know, the U.S. to domestic split is probably 70-30. But let's say, and remember there's going to be a share here with the distributors, but let's say $50 was the pay-per-view charge here, right? Does that sound right? Still 50, right?
Yeah, I believe $49.99.
And this will be too high, but if we multiply 50 by 200,000, that's $10 million. $10 million. It's probably lower. It's probably a lower price point in other countries, in at least some other countries. But $10 million. And if we multiply that by, say, a 45% split, 4.5. So I would say lower than this $4.5 million in pay-per-view revenue, maybe at least $3 million. To put that in perspective versus what they get for an AEW Dynamite, you know, let's say 45.75 million dollars per year, divide that by 52. Oops, I multiplied it. 43.75 divided by 52 per episode of Dynamite, or like say per week of TV, entire week of TV, and they're taping Dynamite and Rampage together most often now. But under $1 million for an episode of Rampage and Dynamite, per week of TV, let's say. So yeah, $4 million. We're still in at least for AEW until they get their TV fees quadrupled or something. Pay-per-view, one night of pay-per-view is worth a lot more media revenue than 1 week of TV for them.
So real quick, Brandon, I want to ask you your opinion on this. You know, obviously the talent with CM Punk and the rumors of Adam Cole and Daniel Bryan sparked interest in pay-per-view buys, but do you think the double distribution with Fight being on as well helped? Because Fight is now cemented themselves as a well-known pay-per-view. I know people that know of Fight but don't know of BR Live or BR, yeah. You know.
Right, and the confusion about where this was. So I understand that there were issues with – so BR Live, which has previously been the exclusive U.S. distributor for AEW pay-per-views, I think, on all of them so far, that's been retired. The Bleacher Report app is now where they were going to do it. But there was, I think, Apple TVs could not get the Bleacher Report app. There might have been some limited availability on other platforms, too. So they went with Fight, too. I don't know. I think the more you can have your pay-per-view distributed and widely available, it helps. But I think when it comes to pay-per-view generally, this consumer is going to find a way to get it. But it helps to make it easier to access. But I don't think it's a huge, huge deal.
Want to go into some historical pay-per-view buys. You know, often AEW gets compared to WCW. You actually supplied a nice little chart here of WCW pay-per-view buys, starting with sold out at 97 and going to greed here. And if you look, I mean, there is obviously pre-2000 a lot. Do beat over that 200,000 mark. But if you look at sold out 97, which was notoriously a bad pay-per-view, 170,000 pay-per-view buys. But then anything after Mayhem 99 is pretty rough for WCW. So that means that AEW's, they beat Starrcade 99, they beat sold out 2000, and so on. I'd actually be every single pay-per-view that went for the rest of WCW's history after Mayhem 99. Right. And they probably, if it's over $200, they would beat Mayhem 99. So,
yeah. Higher price point. I'm not sure what 30 is. I think these were all $30 probably at the time, as I recall. In my real life, I remember those being $30 pay-per-views.
But with inflation, isn't that like $50 now? Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I was getting to, is that I think, again, with inflation, it's a similar price point. If we pull out the U.S. inflation calculator, let's see here, because I don't think they ever reached 35. Only WWE after the Monday Night War ever, that price point change was only after WCW went out of business, right? So let's say if in the year 2000, then in, $30 is $47.50. It was $30. So in today's money, $30 in the year 2000 was almost $50 today. So yes, similar price point with inflation. Okay. What's next?
All right. What's next on the docket here is some WrestleTix numbers here. WrestleTix tweeted out the Super SmackDown ticket distribution for that was at the Madison Square Garden this past Friday night. Estimated capacity 13,187 distributed tickets, 13,132. I mean, it looked like a huge packed crowd. Then Ariel Helwani said that last night's WWE SmackDown MSG produced the highest grossing SmackDown gate of all time, per sources, not just in New York, but of any city ever for any SmackDown. And, you know, SmackDown has been around a little bit over 20 years. That's an interesting statistic.
Mm-hmm.
You would think in the Attitude Era, you know.
Okay, good question. So, our friend and I would say historian at this point, Corey Gibson, who's tracking a lot of the information and sort of aggregating all the information, whether it's from the Observer or in the case of events, we have a lot of information from a resource called Pollstar. So he's putting all this information together in a Google Sheet, as he is a lot of other stuff. And so we looked into this, and he sorted it by, I'm going to put this image on the slide, but he sorted it. There are some London SmackDowns or some UK SmackDowns that did over $1 million. So here's this. So we have in 2006 in Manchester, this is probably according to Pollstar, but in any event, $1.1 million in 2006 in Manchester was the gate. In London in 2014, just over $1 million for a SmackDown. And then we've got some others that are approaching $1 million. As far as domestically, we've got this is probably adjacent to a WrestleMania, April 9th, 2019 at Barclays in Brooklyn, 800,000. So, are they talking about, is Ariel Helwani and wherever he's getting this information from, is that source talking about domestically or globally? I mean, this certainly insinuates globally, right? So it would have to be somewhere around $1.2 million. $1.2 million based on whatever, you know, if we could get an average ticket price out of this. So we've got from WrestleTix a tickets distributed of just over 13,000. Now I understand WrestleTix had a number that was more like 10,000, like the day before. So suddenly a lot of tickets were distributed. More on that later. I mean it's Madison Square Garden. I could see there being a lot of comps, and them wanting to fill it up as much as possible in the last couple of days. But let's say, what would 90% of this be? 11,000. I'm going to be a little bit more aggressive, and let's say 80% of this was paid. That puts it at about 10,400. If we divide that by $1.2 million, whoops, got to do that the other way around. $1.2 million divided by, this is a math show, by the way, did you know that? Divided by 10,400, we need an average ticket price of $115 to get to a $1.2 million gate. I think that's within the realm of possibility. I know WrestleTix didn't get prices on all the tickets, but had an idea. You know, we had upper deck seating, which is probably the cheapest seating in the arena, $60. So $60 is your cheapest ticket. I think we can get to an average ticket price of $115. I understand that this was the highest priced wrestling event that we've seen since the return to touring, maybe even more so than SummerSlam. Not sure about that, though. But yeah, lower level was about $100. So, and I believe that's still raised seating, so not the floor. I'm sure the floor was astronomical. I believe this. I don't think this is an accurate report.
I'm sure merchandise sales for this show were probably very, very good, because I think in the New York market, you can probably charge it just a little bit more.
And looking at, we're going to stick with MSG for a minute. Looking at the ceiling, we're looking at a picture from the arena. The old mess, did they like redo the ceiling? Like, it's not the usual MSG ceiling.
I mean, not that I know of, but I mean, they probably could have. I'd never heard of any renovations, but.
So anyway, you can see why. I mean, it's New York City, Madison Square Garden. I think this was a show and tell event for WWE in addition to being a TV taping. John Cena was here in a dark match too, by the way. That was advertised. I think so I know that there was investor types that WWE was meeting with as part of this, the management was. We'll get to a few things that I've learned related to that as far as the sale, the speculation, this uninformed speculation about the sale, and some thoughts about, you know, how is WWE responding to questions about AEW, which is not their competition, of course. I think we'll get to that in some things to come later.
All right, we're going to stick with events in the New York City area and talk about an interesting situation that has occurred here. So we have Monday Night Raw that will be in Long Island on Monday, November 29th, and that will be at the UBS Arena in Elmont Park, which is part of Long Island. But also, just on December 8th, so a week later, AEW is going to be there for Dynamite and Rampage, and that as well at the UBS Arena at Belmont Park. Sorry,
this is a new arena. This is the new New York Islanders Arena. it's a pretty big building. I was questioning, like, wow, they're going to be doing this event, and how much is this the same market as the market that's being targeted for Arthur Ashe and the market for Newark, which is the Dynamite this coming Wednesday. So they're doing Newark this coming Wednesday. They're doing Arthur Ashe Stadium the week after. And now on December 8th, they're doing Long Island. And I was asking some people who live closer to that area. And I don't know, maybe it's far enough apart, but it is pretty close. But this is about a month later. But we'll see. We've already got a WrestleTix estimate. AEW has put tickets on sale. I don't believe WWE has put tickets on sale yet, which is interesting. But they've got 5,788 tickets distributed already for it at a mapped capacity of just under 9,000. So we'll watch that as the days move on.
All right here. And
we just have an update about Arthur Ashe.
Yes, moving on to the update on Arthur Ashe here. So right now there is 1,290 available tickets, and the new capacity is now 19,428 with a total ticket distributed of 18,130, which is about 93%. They opened up sections 217 and 225. At first, they appear to be partial, but they have opened up fully. If they can sell the majority of the remaining tickets, they will approach $1 million gate, it appears.
Yeah. Yeah, this update, like, also from WrestleTix. Yeah, I think that's, I don't know if this is the explicit goal, but I think they're pushing to get this to $1 million of ticket revenue. I know they would be getting close regardless. But yeah, they're really pushing the capacity up to 19,000. That's two Wednesdays from now. So that's all.
All right, moving on to some Wrestle Kingdom news, and I find this very interesting because this is a first time ever. Wrestle Kingdom 16 was officially announced for January 4th and 25th, 2022, running across two nights for the third consecutive year. But Wrestle Kingdom 16 will see New Japan begin a countdown to its 50th anniversary as the King of Sports, and we will see a star-studded lineup with a more than fitting lineup for the occasion. That's not all. For the first time, Wrestle Kingdom will also hit the Yokohama Arena on January 8th. So yeah, this is the first time ever where Wrestle Kingdom 16 and Yokohama Arena will see the first ever event under the Wrestle Kingdom banner outside of the Tokyo Dome and give fans three incredible stadium experiences to start landmark year. So I know they've been doing the two shows, but yeah, but this is the first time with three.
You sound excited about this, Gull. You're excited for a 3-day Wrestle Kingdom?
I mean,
with the third day being 3 days later.
I mean, I enjoy wrestling. I mean, that's a little weird, but I do enjoy Wrestle Kingdom. So give me some more Wrestle Kingdom. I would hope that if you're doing this, that this Forbidden Door thing, that we'll see some AEW talent over there. Yeah,
I think this is insane. I don't know. New Japan has really been in a tough place, at least as far as global appeal. And it's been compromised greatly by the pandemic. It's been, it's had a lot of its global appeal, a lot of its non-domestic appeal scooped by AEW from 2019 onward. And it's just been a mess with COVID after that. I imagine maybe part of this is, you know, they're probably not going to be able to do capacity, by January. Who knows, though? I think the vaccination rate in Japan is still very low, I think just due to vaccine availability. I don't think Japan's going to be back to normal. I don't think we're going to have a normal audience for New Japan at a Wrestle Kingdom for another year after this, at least. But why? Why do this to your brand? One of the most, the most valuable event brand that you have. And we're going to stretch it out another day. It's almost a parody, you know. As WrestleMania, by the way, I believe Andrew Zarian of the Mat Men podcast has reported that WrestleMania will be a 2-day event next year. I expect, which is Dallas, right? Which is AT&T Stadium, The 100,000 seat capacity AT&T Stadium. I expect Hysteria and breakdowns associated with the WrestleTix reports for that event, as we find that the seating map doesn't even have 100,000 seats on it. Let's just run WrestleMania every year. Let's just call every event WrestleMania and Wrestle Kingdom, you know?
This is not the first time this has happened. This happened in the 80s. With Crockett, they had the actual Great American Bash pay-per-view, but then they did a Great American Bash tour where it was the Great American Bash in every town that they went in.
The tour was first, though. The pay-per-view, making it a single event, was later.
But yeah, well the Wrestle Kingdom tour coming soon. All right, we're going to move on to the ratings report for the week, and we'll actually start with the preliminary numbers we have from SmackDown from Friday night. That was at the Madison Square Garden. Also featured the return of Brock Lesnar and Trey Young from the Atlanta Hawks. 2.34 million for the P2 Plus with a 0.65 in the 18 to 49. If you compare that to the final numbers from Friday before, 2.22 million with 0.62. So a little bit of an increase there for SmackDown on a Friday. I'm sure the buzz of the Garden show might have contributed to that.
$2.3 million would be huge.
$2.3 million viewers, sir.
The last time SmackDown was at $2.3 million. Did I say dollars?
See, I thought I said dollars first, and then you said it. Viewers.
2.3 million viewers. This could be, again, this is prelim that we got off based on the Fast affiliates on Saturday morning, and we will get the final rating on Monday afternoon. This could be the highest rating since January 2021. The SmackDown ratings, especially, and the Raw ratings have been doing well, too, and you'll talk about the Raw rating in a minute. The SmackDown ratings have been really good, and, it's Rebecca ratings, it's Brock Lesnar, no John Cena on television. John Cena was in a dark match. John Cena is all done with TV until maybe WrestleMania. Nonetheless, these WTV ratings still doing well, regardless of anyone's opinion about the WWE product.
And SmackDown, they've been doing a lot of unannounced celebrity spots. So I wonder if the surprise of that is, maybe making some viewers interest, because they had Logan celebrities. Paul.
I love
they had Logan Paul a couple weeks
almost
ago.
Almost as much as I love tall people. Those are my two favorite things. Go on.
Yeah, they had Logan Paul a couple weeks ago, and then Trey Young. And which is funny is Trey Young blatantly choking someone in front of the referee, and he was just kicked out instead of being a disqualification. So, but they did that for the crowd pop, because the people at the Garden hate him, because he helped beat the New York Knicks in the playoffs. So he's like an arch enemy. So,
yes.
But yeah, we'll move on to AEW Rampage. Now we don't have obviously any numbers yet from Friday, September 10th, as we will have them Monday, and Brandon will be breaking them on the WrestleNomics Patreon. But we had 696,000 in the P2 Plus on Friday, September 3rd, with a 0.30 and 18-49. And that's, if you look previously, the week before did 720,000 with a 0.34 in the 18-49. That September 3rd show, that was a live show. But we have a taped show that was just in Cincinnati this past Friday.
You're still riding this train that tape versus live matters, right?
I think so, because spoilers get out. You know,
you should do it.
Spoilers.
Do you have Excel on your laptop?
I think so.
You think so? I challenge you.
I haven't tried it.
I challenge you to, you know, you have access to the big spreadsheet as a patron. I challenge you to grab the data and find out which. As I just poured my protein shake into my coffee on accident. I challenge you to go into and find the data and find out which, you know, designate which events are live and taped, and then let me know if there's any difference in the viewership.
All right. Well, what we'll do is we'll just do a Rampage, a small sample size, but we'll do a Rampages. Let's say we'll do a Rampages from the first episode to the end of September. And then October, when we're, you know, doing some big things here at WrestleNomics, I'll have those numbers for you. Mm-hmm. So the comparison. But yes, I am writing the live to tape there. All right. Moving on to Raw. You kind of hinted a little bit earlier. 1.85 million in the P2 Plus with the 0.52 and 18.49. That was going against college football on Monday night. The week before, on August 30th, 1.91 million with 0.54. Also Labor Day as well. So pretty
and sleep,
pretty
impressive. And sleep. There are probably people sleeping and during sleep. This time too.
Yes, yes. The circus was probably in town somewhere as well. Yeah. But yeah, pretty impressive, Brandon, for, you know, all the circumstances.
Yep. Skip over NXT for now and then talk about Dynamite.
All right, yeah, we'll go into AEW Dynamite from Wednesday, September 8th, 1.32 million in the P2 Plus with a 0.52 and 18.49. I believe that was their second highest P2 rating of all time. Mm-hmm. In comparison, the week before on September 1st, which did 1.5 million with 0.37, 18.49. They are continuing along this million plus train, and it really showed this week.
Mm-hmm. What did it do in 18.49?
0.52.
What did Raw do?
0.52. Yep.
Yes. Yes. So I need to clarify. I reported it on Thursday that, let's get the real numbers here. That AEW did a 0.53 rating. Oh my God. People are going to freak out. But, the number of viewers is correct, is the same. My conversion to do the conversion on the rating, was not up to date. I will explain. 678,000 viewers in 18-49, Raw did. AEW did 681,000. That's what I reported on Thursday. That is still what I'm reporting now. The demo rating, though, does convert to 0.52 for Dynamite, as well as it converts to 0.52 for Raw. Why? Because how are these ratings determined? They're determined based on what Nielsen estimates is the population within that age group. So Nielsen, for TV ratings at least, updates this, their Nielsen universes every August 30th. So I did not yet have that information until the other day I got that information. So basically we were converting by 129.4 million was what I was converting until now. And now it's been updated to 130.5 million is what that's the denominator, if you will, or the factor that we're using to determine what's the rating. So the number of viewers, 3,000, still 3,000 more for Dynamite. And I did a whole I did a whole live stream. If you want to hear me talk more about the ratings, I did a whole live stream on YouTube that anybody can get access to. Did a 40-minute talk, and the audio only version, if you prefer that, is also on the Patreon.
Do we want to break down the actual quarter hours and the minute by minute ratings, and then we'll swing back to the rest of the ratings for the week?
Yeah, it's just this. I did talk about this on the live stream. Did the quarter hours? I did because I got those fast. 1.45 million was the peak quarter for Q7, which is usually a low quarter, but 1.45 million for the quarter that included the angle with Kenny Omega, the Elite, and the first appearances on Dynamite of Bryan Danielson and Kenny Omega. That also peaked in 18 to 49 with 755,000 viewers in the key demo. I don't think there's anything more to talk about as far as the quarter hours, but Chris Harrington tweeted another video of Apple II line graphs, and I've tried to analyze those, and my best estimate is that the peak minute would be somewhere in the neighborhood for that same quarter, within that same quarter, so the peak minute would be somewhere around 1.573 million viewers, over a million and a half for the peak minute, and over 800,000 in 18 to 49 for the peak minute.
All right. And now moving on to NXT, which did 601,000 P2 plus and 0.14 in 18 to 49 on Tuesday, September 7th. Look at the week before, which did 720,000 with a 0.17 on the 18 to 49. So we got a drop there with NXT where really nothing else is truly really dropping. I mean, Rampage a little bit, but NXT taking a significant drop.
Yeah, sort of the lame duck NXT before we get the new, more colorful, taller, more
athletic.
More bad comedy NXT. Impact, I have not updated the Impact numbers. So this is a week old Impact number. The Impact for Thursday, not on this table, 111,000 viewers. So down from a week ago, but up from 2 weeks ago. And 44,000 in the key demo. And if we use our new conversion for that, what would that be in terms of a rating? 44 divided by 1305, that would be a 0.03 rating in the demo for Impact.
All right. And we also have a heels rating, and you actually found DVR in a rerun viewing as well, which is impressive. But the first run viewing was 79,000 overall with a 24,000 18 to 49. But then with DVR and rerun viewing, total view audience of 644,000. So first off, kudos to you finding those statistic, Brandon. But that makes me feel better about the show. I gotta be honest. I like the premise of it. I'm glad there's a show about independent wrestling. Sometimes it's good. Sometimes it's a little, not good. But I want to see it survive. And I got a little nervous. And I know how these networks are. One and done, or sometimes maximum three seasons. And this makes me feel better, because if they're pulling less than 100,000 viewers, but if this looks good,
it's hard to put this in a context. Like what do other shows on Stars do? Is this when you aggregate all of the DVR and all of the rerun viewing? But yeah, I was able to get that information, which I appreciate.
All right.
But the heels, mind you, I never put the heels information in our slides. Always goes rogue, and he wants to discuss the heels
race, yes,
which I appreciate.
Wrestling themed programming, that's what we're discussing here. All right, moving on to a story that was very huge this week. We had a press release from WWE stating that Paul Levesque, a.k.a. Triple H, underwent a successful procedure last week at Yale New Haven Hospital following a cardiac event. The episode was caused by a genetic heart issue, and Paul is expected to make a full recovery. Mm-hmm. I feel for Triple H. I really hope recent stress wasn't the leading cause of this cardiac event, because I can imagine it's very stressful right now.
Yeah. It's interesting how they address this. So they were referring to sort of a time when this happened, right? Did they say when last week? So they sent this out on the 8th, and we're referring to last week. It's interesting that they would address this in this way, and maybe it tells you that if, you know, Vince were to ever have a health issue or were to be hospitalized or something, that maybe they would put out a statement as well. You could imagine how interesting or, you know, speculative to stockholders, you know, the health of Vince McMahon would be if Vince McMahon were having some health problem. So, I mean, just from a stock market stockholder's perspective, this is sort of an interesting precedent. And Triple H is an executive, I think, as you mentioned his title, right? He's the yep. EVP of Global Talent Strategy, yada, yada, developmental. So there's that.
All right, moving on to the pondering question that haunts this podcast. Is WWE for sale?
And can you update me, Chris Gull? Has WWE been acquired by a major media company yet? Has that happened yet?
Not yet. There was that fake report that Disney was meeting with them, but no, they are not for sale. And as of right now, the stock price is $51.91 at the close of market on Friday, and that's a little bit down in the past 5 days. There,
yeah, Chris Gull, the day is September 12th, 2021. This week, AEW beat Raw in the demo, and Slice Wrestling caused W stock to rise by 3%. This really happened. So we have a very questionable report came out on, was it Thursday? Was that when it was? Maybe it was Friday. Suggesting, I don't know if we should even repeat it, but, that speculating on a reporting, no, claiming to report that a source from WWE had said that, you know, that there were plans to sell the company within 18 months or 24 months, and that Fox, NBC, and Disney were the potential suitors. I don't think there's any credibility to this report. I tried to ask people in WWE. They had either not heard about it or did not respond to me. And I think it's sort of in their interest to not deny it, you know? Like, why and why not? Why not let it? You know, the stock price went up a few percent that day because of a report from Slice Wrestling.
It could be worse. Raja.com could be increasing the stock prices.
So when we recorded a couple weeks ago, we recorded sort of on the morning that the Nick Khan and Ariel Helwani interview came out. So we have not really had a chance to discuss that. So we will, we will play this clip, about a minute and a half clip, where this subject of, this is in August. This is just before SummerSlam. So things might have changed since then, but this is last month. Nick Khan and Ariel Helwani talking about whether WWE is for sale.
I heard you on the Recode podcast. And you mentioned that, we're open for business. You know, I take calls. I'm not actively pursuing anything. I take calls. And the theory is they want to sell. What does open for business mean?
A couple things on it. Number one, when I say we're open for business, that means if someone credible calls on anything, NFT, trading cards, international rights, we take the call. We're inherently salespeople. Meaning, we're not sort of like, no, we don't want to talk to this company because we think they're X. If you call and you want to pitch us something and you're a credible company, we're going to hear the pitch, right? We're an entrepreneurial company that Vince and others built over the last 35 years or so. And we always want to stay fresh and entrepreneurial in our minds. When I say open for business, if somebody calls credible asking, hey, are you guys for sale? It's what's your offer? What are you thinking? We're not trying to sell it. That's not our intent. There are no internal meetings about selling this company. The internal meetings about growing it and the ability that we think we collectively have to tremendously grow what the value of the company is now.
Is anyone calling right now about buying it?
My phone is on do not disturb.
Okay, I don't mean right this second, but
you said right now, pointing your finger down. So I'm being facetious. Yeah. Look, people call all the time about all different things, but we're not in any active conversations about any of that.
Okay, fair enough.
So there you go. I don't know if you were able to find the clip and play it while we were playing that, Gullo, because I know you couldn't hear it on your end. And I know the cynical wrestling fan thinks that all corporate executives are liars and they have no incentive to be honest or be truthful in any way. I think it is not within Vince McMahon's personality to sell this company. If WWE were to be offered something like 10 times the market capital of WWE, if they were to be offered a ridiculous deal that made no sense, like $40 billion, maybe they would sell the company. But why would that happen? I mean, that from a TV rights perspective, that doesn't make a ton of sense to buy WWE for $40 billion. But Vince McMahon is never going to, in my opinion, my view, is never going to sell this company in his lifetime, because control of the company is more important to him than almost any dollar value that you could come up with.
Do you think if there is an offer, right, and a lot of people think it would be, you know, NBC Universal Comcast, that offer would happen when, you know, negotiations are truly up for the Friday Night SmackDown deal with Fox, where they're like, hey, listen, let's just buy the company so then they can inherit SmackDown and just have it all one package.
That makes sense.
I think that's what's halting any real serious offers from NBC or Fox, to be honest with you, is the active TV deal with the other company.
I don't know. I mean, somebody who has a better understanding of media politics than me could probably give you an idea. I could see how you, if you're NBC, I'll buy the company, and yes, we're licensing the broadcast rights to this property to Fox, and we'll take that money until the contract is up, and then we think it's a better strategic option to put SmackDown on one of our other properties. I mean, I don't see any reason why, that wouldn't work. Fox would not be happy about it, probably, to be having a sort of a period of a year or however much time where you'd be broadcasting this property that you know is going to be, you know, that belongs to one of your competitors. But I don't see any reason why that would be totally prohibitive and would, you know, not make like legal sense or something. I forgot to talk about too while we were talking about TV ratings. I think the new talking point for AEW questions is going to be, Raw and Dynamite tied in the demo this past week. So, but that doesn't really count. You know that, right? Like, you get that, right? That doesn't really count because they're on Monday and we're on and they're on Wednesday. And Monday's coming up. We have Monday Night Football this coming Monday, and we definitely don't want to talk about it once that starts. So that's not really fair. But you know what is fair? what would be a fair comparison is when WWE and AEW are on the same night, on Friday. That's a fair comparison, right? Because we're both on Friday, and you can make a same night comparison that way. And when you look at SmackDown, I mean, look at what we're doing on SmackDown. We're doing 2.3 million viewers, and they're doing, a third of that, less than a third of that, 700,000. So that's the fair comparison, is that the only comparison that matters is Friday night. Sound good to you?
Yeah. Except you're on a network where anybody with rabbit ears can be on, and
that's just how good we are making deals. That just shows how good we are making deals. The reach platform, the platforms that we're on, and how, it doesn't really matter. Our competition is anything. Okay. It's sleep. It's texting. It's people making breakfast. It's the NFL. You're going to go to the NFL in a minute, Gullo, instead of consuming WWE content. So,
How dare I? How dare I go watch this game?
I don't really understand why you're going to the NFL game, because you could, if you want to have entertainment, you could be watching WWE. So I don't really get it why you're doing that. But it's a free country, and I love freedom.
All right, so Brandon Thurston has officially turned into a WWE executive here on WrestleNomics. It was a nice little mix of Nick Khan, Vince McMahon, and a little Christina Salen in there too. So,
looking forward to our large scale international event next month.
Oh yeah, we are approaching Crown Jewel, aren't we?
Mm-hmm. Are they going with Crown Jewel? Oh, yeah, they are. We knew that. Okay.
Yeah. As far as that, yeah, that will they call it maybe something else? I don't know.
No, I think there's been an ad. It's Crown Jewel.
I want the Greatest Royal Rumble again. That was my favorite one. Mm-hmm. Just so, hey, this guy from NXT that's never been on television, just throw him out there. We need 60 guys. So
you notice too. Let me talk about this too. Kevin Owens' report from Fightful that his, and I think the Observer sort of, confirm this or contribute to this. His deal is up in early 2021. It sounds like Sami Zayn's deal is up even before that.
Yeah, Fightful said fall 2021.
You know, so the people who do not want to go to the large scale international events, slowly leaving the company. Bryan Danielson has left. John Cena is still with WWE though. John Cena, he's down with China, but Saudi Arabia is a bridge too far. So. Yes.
And that's the thing, they're doing all this hype for Lesnar and Reigns, and that's probably what it's going to be on.
Yeah, I expect Brock Lesnar to get a big Saudi government payday. I expect Goldberg to get a big Saudi government payday. Yeah,
they probably will do Edge and Rollins in some form. I'd think Edge will probably be there, get a big payday.
Sure.
So. But anything else you want to touch on this week, Brandon?
I don't think so. I guess Monday Night Football is coming up. I did talk about this on the live stream. It's worth mentioning. Expect at least a 7% hit on Raw's TV ratings, coinciding with the beginning of the Monday Night Football season. Could be stronger, though. We're seeing some, NFL had its first game on Thursday that did really well. Maybe it's the case that now the NFL, we're in the early part of the new season. The early part of last season had no fans. Is that correct?
Yeah. So early part of next season, no fans, and most stadiums did no fans throughout the year.
The Bills had fans, but that was very late in the season.
That was the playoffs.
Only the playoffs.
Yep.
Okay. So, yeah.
Just real quick, one Monday night note that I did want to say is this is the first year in a long time on Monday Night Football where usually opening week they do two games, an East Coast and a West Coast, and they're just doing one game this year.
That's a good point. So, yeah. But they were never like simultaneously happening. It was only one game at a time.
Yeah, it was an East Coast like a little bit earlier at 7 and then a West Coast at like around 10 o'clock. Now this is going to be in Vegas. Stadium actually will be attending in a few weeks, but that will be at 8:15 Eastern Standard Time. So
at Allegiant Stadium.
Yep, Raiders and Ravens.
Home of WWE SummerSlam. Mm-hmm. So there's still only one NFL game on Monday that is going head-to-head with football. Is this a 9 o'clock start or 8 o'clock start?
8:15.
8:15. So mostly against Raw. What were they last year or in the years prior? Were they, do you know what the start times were? Because it would be like a 10 o'clock start for the late game, right? Something like that.
The late game was really, I think 10:15, if I remember. Uh-huh. But I think the early game was earlier in this. I think it was like a 7 o'clock start, but that was only the first week of the season too. Right. Then it was normally, I think it was 8:15 or 8:25. I think 8:25 is a Sunday night start time. So I think like 8:15. Mm-hmm. So last 7:15 was the early game, in 2020. And then the, don't have the night. For some reason, can't find the nighttime, but I remember being around like 10:15. So, okay. Oh no, here we go. Here's the money schedule. Normally 8:15, but yes, for week one it was 7:15 and 10:10. That's what it was. Okay.
So complete overlap of Raw. This one on week one at least will have a 15 minutes of Raw all by itself, at least as far as going ahead with Monday Football. Chris Gull right now wearing a Buffalo Bills jersey. By the way.
Tremaine Edmonds.
Okay.
What position? Linebacker for the Buffalo Bills.
Linebacker.
Yeah, his brother plays for the Steelers, so that's why I like to wear a jersey that kind of means something. So it's
what's him the latest with his brother. Cole Beasley? Is he playing today?
He's playing today.
Oh, did he get vaccinated?
He is. No. You don't have to be vaccinated. It's just the unvaccinated players. If they cause a COVID outbreak or part of a COVID outbreak, there's a lot of repercussions.
So he's probably had to be tested or something.
Oh, yeah. Well, and that's what he always goes. He goes, I've never tested positive. That's his thing. Okay. He goes, I take precautions.
He's a wide receiver, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Just other things. The much hyped WrestleNomics Super PC has still never booted as far as I know, but it is now at a local Buffalo computer repair shop being troubleshot. So hopefully I think the power supply is my best guess. The power supply is just a dud. So maybe we'll get that soon. And we can start really doing streaming. This is why I brought up your jersey. I think, my loose goal has been in October to start to do some additional content type things and maybe introduce an additional tier, for the WrestleNomics Patreon, where we do video and we wear ties. I will allow, I guess, as an exception, a Buffalo Bills jersey. I can reason that out.
Can we get WrestleNomics tracksuits? Those would be cool.
Would you wear a tracksuit? Would you wear a tracksuit on the street of the New York Stock Exchange, though?
Well, you know, so yeah, maybe not.
I do have a Brandon Thurston tracksuit pullover. Yeah, but I still need to get measured for some shirts, though, because the shirt that I wore on our quarterly earnings update podcast was very loose. I don't know if you noticed it, but it was very, very not my size.
Yeah.
It was too big. Did you notice that? Did you notice how much it was like wrinkling and ruffling?
A little bit. You definitely looked like a member of Raid Dissenter. That was for sure. Like,
yes. So I need to, that's actually right here. I have a tape measure right here. I just need to measure myself and get some shirts that fit me. I did get a new iPhone. Where is it? I think it's in the other room. This is my old iPhone 8. And I got an iPhone 11. What kind of phone do you have, Gullo?
Samsung Galaxy S10 Plus. So a couple years old.
You're in the Android world, huh?
Yeah.
So has your privacy been violated? Do you feel like people are tracking you and giving you ads in a more, I don't know if you have anything to compare it against, but like, what do you feel like the experience is if you were to imagine compared to the Apple universe?
I mean, I feel like there's targeted apps. I have a friend who's a strong avid Apple advocate, Jonathan Ash, yeah, and
patron of the show. Thank you.
He claims every time that I misspell something when I'm texting him or like, oh, sorry, I'm trying to load this. He goes, oh, it's a stupid Android phone. You need to get an iPhone. He always blames all my issues with the phone on that.
Uh-huh. So I got an iPhone 11. So this is my retired 8. And then I got an iPhone 11. And I don't think they actually sold me a phone. I think they sold me a small television.
that's what they are now.
So I had this for a few days and I was like, this is too big. I'm like, I had it in a case already, which I went to the Galleria Mall and I was like, all right, I gotta get a case for this thing. Cause it's hundreds of dollars. And I'm going to fucking smash it. And so I got a case for it and they gouged me for a case at Best Buy. But anyway, so I'm like, going to work and stuff, trying to jam this in my pocket, this TV. And I was like, this is too big. So I went back to the Apple store, had a wonderful conversation with DeMario. And we talked about wrestling. We talked about vegan, vegetarian eating. And I got an iPhone 12 mini. So now I am carrying a smaller iPhone 12 mini. I feel like that it's probably targeted more towards older people or something. I feel like that's something about the vibe is like old people don't want a 12 mini. And after all, unlike you, Chris Gullo, I am now in the back half, the old half of the key demo. So I'm getting there.
I got one more year of that. So
one more year in 18 to 34. Enjoy it while it lasts.
Yep. But all right. Other than that, I guess we can do plugs and whatnot and wrap it up here.
And you got to go to the Bills game.
Yeah, I got to pick a couple people up, grab my seltzers, and get ready to go.
Is Ben Roethlisberger still the quarterback for the Steelers?
He is. There's he's a shell of his former self.
There's talk that he was going to retire, right? But he didn't.
Yes. For the last 4 years.
Okay. Tom Brady still is on the Buccaneers?
Yep. Looked great on Thursday night football.
Okay, that was the Buccaneers and who?
Cowboys.
The Cowboys, right. Okay. Yeah, go ahead. Do your plugs. Get out of here.
All right. So, yeah, you can find me, Chris Gello, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, and then my other podcast, RTA Pod. By the way, special thanks to Great Britain and Canada. We were in, like, 53, I think, in Canada and 54 in Great Britain for the Apple charts on Chartable. So thank you for that. Yes, RTA Pod on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook.
I'm doing Thursday live streams. I did one this past, as I alluded to. I did one this past Thursday. We had 140 some odd concurrent viewers. There's thousands. Well, is it 1,000 yet? Can you say plural thousands if it's just under 2,000? But anyway, there's a lot of people watching that relative to the previous stream. So I appreciate that. That's growing. I will do another one at 5:30 p.m. Eastern Thursday afternoon after the Dynamite rating comes out, because that's when I get the most engagement, is when that Dynamite rating comes out, because people want to read the scoreboard and get that economic justice and punish WWE and praise AEW or deny that this number matters at all. If you're a WWE fan, it's really becoming super tribal, but at least in the Twitter mentions. I have changed the settings though on the YouTube chat, so that you can only put something in the chat every 15 seconds, so you can't get into a rapid back and forth argument with somebody. We're having some issues on a couple weeks ago on the live stream where people were getting a little bit contentious. So there's that. Those are a video stream too. And I put the audio only version, if you find that more convenient. I put that out there for patrons in the Patreon podcast feed. There's all these WrestleNomics.com. If you want to look at what the latest pay-per-view numbers are, if you want to look at what the latest blog posts are, those are there. The WrestleNomics Patreon at patreon.com/WrestleNomics. You can get access to the giant WrestleNomics viewership spreadsheet where there are over 15,000 data points. That's the spreadsheet that I use to keep up to date with all the latest trends. I've been updating it lately with the Shilba's Daily information. Shilba's Daily, I realized earlier this week, has closed the gap that they had during their hiatus. Obviously, they did not, as everyone knows, as everyone is closely following, Shilba's Daily was not doing any posts from May 12th to like August 10th or something, 12th, something like that. And so there were all those days missing. They have filled in those days. There's a report now for every day that they missed. So now we no longer have this gap of data that, for my purposes, which was a fairly big deal. Like, I couldn't follow the trends of wider TV, which is what everyone wants to know, because as everyone knows, all TV is down. So it doesn't matter if anybody's TV ratings are down, unless you can show what the trends are of all TV. So anyway, I filled a lot of that information in, and we have more of that. I sort of take a daily measurement of what the cable originals are doing. And that's it. That's in there and on the sheet now. We'll be able to look at that. And now we have rankings for all the programs that ranked in the top 150. But anyway, all that's on the Patreon, as well as my nearly every weekday there is a TV ratings report, the deepest TV ratings analysis you'll find anywhere for wrestling programs. And there's other bonus stuff in there as well. That's all. You can follow me on Twitter at Brandon Thurston and at WrestleMonics. I'm Brandon Thurston.
I'm Chris Gello.
That's your cue. We'll talk to you next time. Bye.